Thanksgiving has been part of the American experience since well before we were a country, and we're going to talk with our next guest about the earlier examples of giving thanks, how we rediscovered the pilgrims, and when we added football to the celebration. And it's way earlier than you think, that football part, by the way. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Melanie Kirkpatrick is with us. She's a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, a former deputy editor of the Wall Street Journal editorial page, and an author. And a few years back, I said it was brand new, but it was a few years back that she wrote the book Thanksgiving, the Holiday at the Heart of the American Experience. And we thought it'd be kind of fun to talk with her about the history of the holiday. Love to have you join in. What questions do you have about the history of Thanksgiving? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you could email us. The email address, ideas@WPR.org. I'm sorry, email@WPR.org, WPR.org. Melanie Kirkpatrick, welcome. Thank you for taking time to talk with us.
It's great to be with you, Larry, and just 4 days to go.
Just 4 days to go, and the turkey and the ham and everything else will be on the table. So what about Thanksgiving? What was it about Thanksgiving that made you want to write a book about it?
You know, it dates back to September 11th, 2001. I was in downtown Manhattan on that tragic day, and I saw the towers fall. And afterwards, like so many Americans, I began to think a little more deeply about what it meant to be an American. And in my case, I started to read of Plymouth Plantation, William Bradford, the governor of Plymouth, William Bradford's journal of the Pilgrims' journey and then settlement here in North America. As Thanksgiving approached, I read ahead to what he had to say about the event that we know is the first Thanksgiving, and I was very taken with it. It was only about 100 words, but it captured the spirit of the holiday that is still recognizable today. So then I began looking into the history of the holiday and eventually decided to write a book about it.
Well, I thought it was really an interesting read and eye-opening in many parts of it. I'm wondering, you know, that first chapter in your book, you talk, or maybe it was the don't have the book right in front of me now, but there were you write about students in Newcomers High School making a lasting impression on your Thanksgiving holiday. Tell us that story.
Yeah, it was one of the most interesting interviews I've done as a journalist and author. Newcomers High School is a high school for immigrants in Queens, New York, one of the boroughs of New York City, and I visited there a week or so before Thanksgiving Day to talk to three classes about the holiday. Most of these kids were about to celebrate Thanksgiving for the very first time, and I wanted to know what they thought about it. And I was really very moved by their answers. They clearly identified with the pilgrims as newcomers to our country. One boy spoke up and said, I am a pilgrim. I am like the pilgrims. I came here for religious freedom. And he was a Tibetan Buddhism. And of course, Tibet has been part of China since 1950. And he said, we weren't allowed to worship freely our religion. So his family decided to move here. And a girl spoke up then, and she was from Egypt, where her family were Copts. And Copts are an early form of, a very ancient form of Christianity. And she said that that was the reason that her family came here too. And it was deeply affecting to me that these kids from all around the world had a really personal understanding of what the holiday meant for them. Nobody mentioned Black Friday. Nobody mentioned football. They all mentioned turkey. They were really looking forward to eating turkey, and which would be the first time for most of them. And I said, well, you don't have to have turkey to celebrate Thanksgiving. And there was a chorus of shouts from the kids saying, yes, it's tradition.
Well, is the idea of a day designated to give thanks, so then do most cultures do that?
No, they don't. There are other cultures that do it, but they're not connected with the history of that country the way the holiday is in America. They're either religious day or there are a harvest festival, or in the case of Canada and Brazil, they're they're a copy of the United States holiday, but they're not infused with the meaning that that our holiday has.
You know, most of us know, or maybe think we know, about the first Thanksgiving that was held in Plymouth, Massachusetts. What really happened there?
Well, there are two eyewitness accounts of the first Thanksgiving by two different pilgrims. And interestingly, neither one of them uses the word Thanksgiving. They use that word 2 years later to describe a religious day of Thanksgiving that the governor called to give thanks to God for a rainfall that had ended a drought and saved their harvest. But you know, the pilgrims gave thanks every day, every meal. They were big on gratitude, and I think the first Thanksgiving, I'm perfectly fine with calling it a Thanksgiving. That's, you know, it certainly was that, even though they didn't specify it. But it was more, it was a harvest festival. It lasted 3 days, and there were only 52 pilgrims present. Half of the pilgrim group had died in that terrible first winter, either of cold or disease. There's a disease that historians think might have been a virulent form of the flu that many died of. And in contrast, and half of those 52 were women, children, or teenagers. And contrast that with the members of the Confederation of the Wampanoag Confederation of Indian Tribes, who joined the event with 90 men, 90 braves. So there was a lopsided feeling there, and the Native Americans brought 5 venison, which would have fed the whole company for several meals. And the reason I say that it's, I think, still fair to call it a Thanksgiving, because the event was a way for for the two people to come together in harmony, in friendship, and in peace. The years that followed, of course, after a few decades, we had the terrible King Philip's War, and there was a lot of violence in the years that followed. But at that moment in time, it was a peaceful celebration of two very different people. And I believe it points the way in a positive way to the multicultural different people and nation we've become.
What was the relationship between the pilgrims and the Wampanoag people?
They had a peace treaty, and they also had, I think the peace treaty was in large part because of the great King Massasoit, with whom the pilgrims were very friendly and whom their writings show they respected very much. The native people of the area were tremendously generous to the pilgrims. They taught them how to plant corn. They led them to good fishing spots and good hunting spots. And there's no way. Oh. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
My husband's answering the other line. Apologies. Anyway, they were very grateful to the Native Americans. There was one, Squanto, who had been taken as a slave to England 20 years earlier and so could speak English. And when Squanto walked out of the woods speaking English to the pilgrims, they were astonished. And Bradford, the governor, spoke of him as a messenger from God. And when he died, talked about his friend Squanto. And so there was a close personal relationship with several individual Native Americans.
Talking today with Melanie Kirkpatrick about Thanksgiving. Her book came out a couple years back, Thanksgiving, the Holiday at the Heart of the American Experience. I really enjoyed reading it. And she's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today. We'll talk some more about Thanksgiving. And we'll go right through from that point that she just talked about right up to the present with football. And you're going to be surprised at when the first Thanksgiving football game occurred. I'm pretty sure of that. So stay with us. Larry Mueller here. We'll be back right after this look at the news. Are you looking forward to celebrating Thanksgiving on Thursday? On the show today, we're talking about some of the day's history. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Our guest is Melanie Kirkpatrick. She's a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, a former deputy editor of the Wall Street Journal editorial page, and an author. One of her books is titled Thanksgiving, the Holiday at the Heart of the American Experience. So is Thanksgiving your favorite holiday, maybe? Why or why not? Give us a call. Excuse me. The number is 800-642-1234 or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Melanie, the Thanksgiving holiday can be a complicated day maybe for many Native Americans, and maybe talk about why that's so troubling.
Yeah, it's even though the history of the holiday itself shows that it was a peaceful occasion, and if anything, the Native Americans had the upper hand, so to speak, at the holiday because of their sheer numbers. And also, of course, they were hugely instrumental in helping the pilgrims who may not have survived without their assistance. At the same time, the history of the Native Americans that followed a few decades later is a terrible thing. And some Native Americans and others see the arrival of the pilgrims in North America as the beginning of the genocide of many North American Indian nations, and also the poverty and desperate plight of many Native Americans today. I have a chapter on this in my book, and I interviewed both Native Americans who believe in this interpretation and refuse to celebrate the holiday. And then a much larger number of Native Americans are very conscious of the holiday, of the history of their people on the holiday, but as one woman said to me, We're Americans too, and we're a bicultural people, members, citizens of the United States, and members of their Indian tribe. So, I would not want to speak for the whole Native American population, but I encountered many people who celebrate the holiday in the usual way, but also take time to think about their ancestors. My own view on this is that that's the way to look at it, and I think all Americans on Thanksgiving Day should take a moment to think about the Native Americans and the sad history.
And as you point out, the first Thanksgiving probably occurred a couple of thousand years earlier.
Yes. Well, this is an interesting point, Larry. One chapter in my book discusses the early Thanksgivings on our continent. The European ones, which have been recorded, of course, because we had a written language, and there were early European Thanksgivings that predated the Pilgrims and the Indians in 1621, and those took place in Texas and Florida and Virginia and Maine. And so there are places there that lay claim to being the quote-unquote first Thanksgiving. But the real first Thanksgivings, of course, are the days of gratitude that Native Americans marked in their culture. We don't know when they were, of course, but they were expressing gratitude to an almighty long before Europeans hit our shores. And I will say that Ronald Reagan was the first to acknowledge those native days of gratitude in his proclamation, his Thanksgiving proclamation in 1984, in which he quotes a beautiful Seneca prayer.
It's an amazing history. And it's kind of hard for me, well, maybe not in this political climate that we have, but Thanksgiving has had its fair share of political controversy. And I think you point out it started back even with George Washington himself.
Yes. Well, this was a huge surprise to me. During the first Congress, which took place in the Capitol, which was New York City at the time, it started in March of 1789, and in September, Congress decided to take a well-deserved break. And somebody proposed that they go to Washington, Congress goes to Washington, and ask him to declare a national Thanksgiving Day. Well, other members of Congress objected, saying that, under the new Constitution, the power to declare a national Thanksgiving did not go to the president. It went to the governors of the individual states. And others objected that it was a religious holiday and the president had to stay away from religion under the Constitution. They had just debated the First Amendment. Well, in the end, there was a resolution, a congressional resolution, and it passed. And a delegation went to Washington, who did a brilliant thing. He issued a presidential proclamation, and this was the first proclamation by a president, by the way. And but he didn't order anybody to celebrate Thanksgiving. He requested that the governors issue their own Thanksgiving proclamations, thereby, getting around the idea that the president did not have the authority, which he apparently shared. And so that was the first of our national Thanksgivings.
And, and I think it over time, I was thinking of your story. You were telling a story in the book about during the Civil War or at Civil War time, I think both Lincoln and I want to say Jefferson, the South.
Jefferson Davies.
Jefferson Davies.
Yeah.
both had proclamations.
Yeah, they did. In the early years of the Civil War, both Davis and Lincoln issued proclamations after victories by their side, calling for a day of thanksgiving in support of the in gratitude for the military victories. And that is one part of the history of Thanksgiving. There were Thanksgivings called by English settlers for victories over when they had skirmishes with Native Americans. And then during the Continental Congress, the Congress called several Thanksgivings in celebration of victories over the British. But Lincoln's 1863 Thanksgiving Proclamation was different from this. Excuse me. It was a proclamation for a Thanksgiving for general blessings, that is, for all the good things that we can give thanks to God for. And remember, this was 1863, the middle of the Civil War, the bloodiest period in American history. And in fact, it was just a couple of months after the Battle of Gettysburg. And it was the prose is beautiful, and I would urge you to go back and read that proclamation, because it has meaning for us today. It was, of course, a turbulent time, a time of great division in the country, and yet Lincoln presented a very hopeful message. He was looking forward to the day when the country was again united, and it's a beautiful thought, and I like to think that his lovely phrase about the country coming together with one voice and one heart can prevail in our own turbulent time.
Yeah. Melanie Kirkpatrick, our guest, as we talk with her about her book, Thanksgiving, the Holiday at the Heart of the American Experience. If you want to join in, give a call at 800-642-1234 or email us to ideas@wpr.org. I know FDR tried to move Thanksgiving during the Depression and brought about all kinds of controversy. Maybe comment on that.
Oh, this is a fun story, which I first heard from my mother, actually. In 1939, Roosevelt gave a press conference declaring that he was changing the date of Thanksgiving. And he wanted, the traditional date was the last Thursday of November, and he wanted to make it a week earlier because he had the dumb economic idea that if Americans only had an extra week to go Christmas shopping, it would boost the economy. Now, of course, Americans didn't have the money to do that. They would have been only too happy to buy more, but nobody could afford it. Anyway, this new declaration just set off a firestorm of protest, with the result that about half the states chose to celebrate on the traditional date, and the other half celebrated on Roosevelt's date, which they called Franksgiving, after Franklin Roosevelt. And the reason I say my mother told me about this was that my mother was from Buffalo in New York State, Roosevelt's state, and New York, being Roosevelt's state, went with Roosevelt's Thanksgiving, the early Thanksgiving. But my mother was in college in Boston at the time, and Boston was, of course, in Massachusetts, the home of the first Thanksgiving. And Massachusetts went with the old date. So my mother couldn't go home for Thanksgiving for 3 years because she didn't have the time off. And then the story has a happy ending, because in 1941, Congress finally passed a resolution declaring a national holiday, annual national holiday for Thanksgiving, and assigning it as the fourth Thursday of November. So ever since then, we've had a national Thanksgiving on the same date during the year.
You write about an interest. In fact, you have a new book out this year on Sarah Josepha Hale. And the book is Lady Editor. So Sarah Josepha Hale and the Making of the Modern American Women. And Thanksgiving wouldn't exist without her efforts.
That's right. Sarah Hale is known as the godmother of Thanksgiving. She was a remarkable woman, Larry, and I'm really trying to do my best to make her better known because I think she's one of the most important women in our history. She was editor of Godey's Ladies' Book, the most popular magazine of the pre-Civil War era, the first successful lady editor, and she loved Thanksgiving. And she grew up in Newport, New Hampshire, a little town in New Hampshire, where she really loved the holiday. And in the 1840s, she started a campaign in the pages of Godey's Ladies' Book to celebrate a national holiday. Before then, the individual governors of the individual states would call the Thanksgiving Day, and they didn't coordinate, so Americans were celebrating on different days all over the place. And so one of her goals in calling a Thanksgiving was to help unify the country as it moved toward civil war. She thought that Thanksgiving was in part, she thought it was it would help to morally unify the country. And she wrote to lots of influence makers, governors, members of Congress, and presidents of the United States. The governors, for the most part, liked the idea, and the presidents didn't like it because they thought that authority belonged to the governors. Anyway, in 1863, a few days after receiving a letter from Hale, President Lincoln proclaimed a National Thanksgiving Day.
Colleen in Green Bay, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, great. I'm calling just to give a little bit more of the Native American perspective, and I really hope that you decide to get an actual Native American to come in and speak on this for more than just the 2 minutes I'm about to say, you know what I mean, like a full program on it. But the point I want to make about Massasoit, the chief or sachem, it was shortly not too long after, you did mention King Philip's War, but it was his son, particularly Metacom, who was known as King Philip, who was involved in that war. And it was because the Pilgrims had reneged on their treaties, okay? And what wound up happening to King Philip, which is what Massasoit's son, is that he wound up being killed and beheaded and his head posted on Plymouth Plantation's, fortress, and his wife and children, which would be the grandchildren of Massasoit, were sent into exile into the slavery in the Caribbean.
Are you familiar with this, Melanie?
I am, and I was not familiar with Colleen's comment that the Pilgrims broke a treaty, that it was the Pilgrims who did it. There certainly were English settlers who, but I don't know if it was the at Plymouth that did this. However, the point still stands. In response, I would say that the English settlers pointed to ways that the Native Americans violated the treaty. So there are two sides to the story. The brutality of both sides in this period is well documented. There were kidnappings of English by Native Americans and stories of great brutality. At the same time, there are also stories of violence and brutality on the English side and the Dutch side too. So it's as we know, the Europeans won all of this, and as Colleen pointed out, the survivors of King Philip's War, many of them were sent as slaves to the Caribbean.
Hmm.
So it is a very tragic story. But my only point is that there were grievances on
both sides.
Yes.
And I, at the start of the show, I mentioned football, and it's a strange segue to that, but I want to follow up on it nevertheless and ask you that first time that football appeared in a Thanksgiving actually was back in the 30s, wasn't it?
No, it actually went back even farther than that, Larry. Certainly was popular in the 1930s. But it went back to shortly after the first football game in American history, which was 1869.
Oh,
A game played between Princeton and Rutgers. Rutgers won. Three games, actually, and Rutgers won the tournament. But then shortly thereafter, in the 1870s, Princeton and Yale began to play their championship game on Thanksgiving Day. And this proved to be very popular. At around 1880, they moved the game to New York City on Thanksgiving Day. And New Yorkers took it up with relish. Even if they didn't go to the game, they chose sides. There were supporters of Princeton who would wear orange and black and parade up and down Fifth Avenue, and then supporters of Yale who wore blue and paraded. And New Yorkers are trendsetters, and soon the idea of Thanksgiving football had spread around the country. And by 1893, there were 5,000 Thanksgiving games, Thanksgiving Day games. And these were high schools, local football teams, colleges, too. So Thanksgiving football was very popular. And when Roosevelt changed the date of Thanksgiving, and this might have been what you were thinking about, Larry, some of the people who were most upset about it were football coaches, college football coaches, because the date of Thanksgiving, of their championship game, had been set in the calendars for a long time.
Well, Melanie, on that note, there's a whole lot more to that particular story, but a whole lot more to your book, and I'm so glad we had a chance to talk about it. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, Larry, and let me wish you a very happy Thanksgiving.
To you as well. Melanie Kirkpatrick, her book, Thanksgiving, The Holiday at the Heart of the American Experience. It was a really interesting and fun read, as a matter of fact. Dr. Kerry Donahue comes back tomorrow to talk about adopting and caring for senior pets. In the meantime, I hope you'll stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.